Hey, it's Stu. Stupidity is presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And before we get started, I want to remind you to download and subscribe to Baseball Tonight with Buster Olney. With a 60-game regular season, anything can happen. I mean, the Mets might have a shot. How about that? It's time for first, late July. You can find Baseball Tonight with Buster Olney wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to a journey inside the soul of one of sports media's brightest minds, a profoundly nuanced odyssey called Stupidity. Hosted by the incomparable Stu Gatz, a man I consider a personal hero and icon of the industry. I want to make no bones about it. There is no Mike Greenberg today without the sensational Stu Gatz providing me the inspiration to chase my dream and challenge myself to be just half as brilliant as he is. Allow me, Mike Greenberg, a man who would probably today be doing traffic in Sioux Falls without Stu Gatz's influence, to welcome you to a truly transcendent sonic experience. This is Stupidity.
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, bigger than Radio Rental. How about that? That is the new bar. It was Oprah. And then it was something last week. I forget what it was. All the days are starting to blend together. It was Joe Rogan for a little bit. But we are now bigger than Radio Rental, Stanzik. What the hell is Radio Rental?
That's a great question. Up until about 2 minutes ago, I had no idea what Radio Rental is. But it's very high in the Apple podcast charts. And apparently Radio Rental is bizarre, true, scary stories told by those who live them. So
okay. All right.
There you go.
So anyway. We're bigger than Radio Rental. Subscribe, rate, review. Finny's all in on being bigger than Radio Rental. How about that, Zantik?
Finny got excited when he started talking Radio Rental.
He really did. He did. A little too excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen, this is going to be an interesting episode because I'm conflicted on what we're doing this episode. We have a new morning show starting on ESPN Radio on August 17th, right? Mm-hmm. And you know I have an affinity for the old radio show, Mike and Mike, and
right.
Then Golic and Wingo, because, you know, I'm an honorary member of the Golic family. The Golic family has become very close. They've had a big presence on this podcast. Junior, obviously, the biggest presence, and he'll be doing a weekly show with us starting in August or September, him and the Weekend Observations group. But I think every Golic has been on this podcast. I think his brother's been on. Has Sid been on? Has Sydney been on? I think Jake's been on. I think Jake, have we had Jake on?
We have not had Jake or the sister on.
Get them both on. Okay. But we have had Christina, Mike Sr.'s wife, on several times, including the episode that Abby did by herself. We had them as a couple for the Stooliewood game, which was fantastic, and it gave you a chance to see the Golics in a way you've never seen them before, and hopefully we'll never see them again. Yeah. And so we love the Golic family, but here's what's happened along the way. Trey Wingo and I have developed a friendship that I'm not quite certain we would have developed had he not done radio for 3 years, Golic and Wingo. Trey and I have become very good friends. We are two peas in a pod. And by two peas in a pod and very good friends, we share the love of golf, okay? And so I am conflicted because Trey and I have become friends, and I feel like we're going to have Zubin Mehenti on, who is one of the three hosts of the new morning show. It's him, Keyshawn, and Jay Williams, and hopefully we'll have Keyshawn on for you next week. But Zubin is going to be our guest this week, and I feel like I need Trey's permission. Like, I'm moving on too quickly from Wingo over to Zubin. But I'm not certain how to deal with this with Trey, because I'm pretty certain the day he found out he didn't have to wake up at 3:30 in the morning anymore was the greatest day of his life. So I don't know if I congratulate him. I don't know if this is, hey, I'm sorry, the run's over. I mean, how would you go about this if you were me? The one thing I know we have to do is call Trey and get his permission to talk to Zubin. Otherwise, I'm not airing Zubin if Trey's not comfortable with it, you know?
So a quick peel behind the curtain here. We've already interviewed Zubin, so that's already happened.
Yeah.
So now we just need
to... I mean, you really peeled it back. I mean, Jesus Christ, you just pulled the whole curtain open. Oh, my God.
Are you asking Trey to pass the torch of morning show host friendship from himself to Zubin? Like, you got close to Greeny because of golf and the Jets. You got close with Trey because of golf. Now you're going to get close to Zubin. I don't know the reason yet, but I'm sure you'll think of one. So sure. Is that what we're doing here?
I'm kind of, yeah, I want to, two things, twofold. I want to know if I should be congratulating Trey or saying sorry to Trey. Okay so we're just going to ask him. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then, yes, I am seeking permission from Trey to move on from Trey to Zubin Mehenti, because Trey can no longer provide me with platform, opportunity, or money. He can just provide me with 9 to 18 holes of golf. Okay. So I am asking for permission to move on from Trey to Zubin. Because Trey has become a friend. That's really the goal behind this, to make sure he's okay with all this. All right?
I'm sure he'll be fine. I mean, trust me, I worked with Trey for a year and a half. He's going to be delighted to have you be friends with Zubin Mehenti and start texting Zubin instead of him. Trust me.
Okay, well, let's get Trey on. I'm certain he's got a tee time in 10 minutes.
Stupidity!
All right, Trey Wingo, host of Golic and Wingo. They have a week remaining. Trey, I am telling you, Trey, you on the golf course right now, by the way?
Yes, I'll get exact yardage. I'm 75 yards away from the green on the opening par 5 hole.
Got a little lob wedge there? What do you got working in, Trey?
You know, there's a little wind against me, so I think I'm probably going to play a low-flighted sand wedge and see what happens.
All right. I think you're answering my questions without me even asking them. You seem to be enjoying while you're doing the morning show. So, listen, I am a little conflicted here, because one of the great things that happened along the way with you doing 3 years of Golic and Wingo, and I don't think it would have happened had you not hosted that show for 3 years, is you and I developed a very nice friendship, a very good relationship. We share the love of golf. I'm pretty certain we share the love of money, and we certainly share the love of alcohol. And so what I'm conflicted about is I've been sending Golic like, hey, great 20-year run. Sorry it came to an end. You were great. I'm not quite certain how to navigate this with you. Are we celebrating the fact that you're no longer doing this? Or am I supposed to say sorry? And I'm asking for a very specific reason. I'll get to that in just a second.
No, it's all good with me. You know, I let them know like a year ago. I was like, look, I just don't think this is for me. So I probably won't be doing this again. And so that was my choice. And whatever happens after that, that's their choice. And I have to live with it, because this was the choice I made. So I'm all good.
All right, that's it. You chose to be in the golf course. They chose Zubin Mehenti, which brings me right where I wanted to be. Zubin is going to be the featured guest this week on this episode of Stupidity. But because I'm so loyal to you, and I didn't know how you were feeling about no longer doing the morning shows, although now I know this is a celebratory day and not a day of mourning, I wanted to ask you for permission, because I feel like I'm moving on too quickly from you to Zubin. But can I speak to Zubin? Because I want to have him on this week's episode.
Yeah, look, Zubin is one of the greatest guys in the world, and I'm so happy for him, because not a lot of people know who he is. So this is a great opportunity for him, and he's going to crush it. Absolutely. Zubin is one of the best guys you're ever going to know. He's terrific.
All right, so I can talk to Zubin and still feel very good about our relationship. Our relationship is intact. You and I will be golfing and drinking soon, correct?
Correct, 100%. In fact, they're yelling at me to speed up, so let's wrap this thing up pretty quickly, because there are people behind me.
All right, I love you. The last time you sped up, it was because you had 100 shots of espresso in Miami, and you haven't been the same since. I love you. Yeah, see you later.
You're the best guy.
You already sound younger. See ya.
Stupidity!
All right, so Stanzik, this is a celebratory day, it seems like.
I told you.
Trey, he seems really banged up about it. And he doesn't seem to give a shit about any sort of relationship I'm about to develop with Zubin Mehenti. How about that? It's great. And I'm still friends with Trey. I got all my bases covered. This is amazing. Is Trey coming back? I mean, I didn't ask him, but is Trey going to host that final week next week? Or?
I assume so, but I have not been told that, nor have I seen that anywhere.
All right, Trey let him know a year ago. Was it for him? I mean, I knew 3 years ago.
So did I.
Stupidity! Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. It was a pleasant surprise. I came into work one day to do SportsCenter like I've been doing for 9 years. I got a call to say, give me a call. I thought maybe, you know, when the CAF Starbucks opens again, we can go get a Starbucks. I thought that might be along the lines of the conversation. And it turned into something a little different. But suffice to say, I thought about it, and I said, let's give it a shot, working with a number one overall pick that, you know, famously went to USC, a number two overall pick that famously went to Duke, and me, who unfamously went to Rutgers. So it's a combo we're ready to go.
Wait, so these days, though, I mean, it stands like nowadays, you get a call like that, like, hey, give me a call. That can go in any direction, Zubin. That could be Starbucks. It could be a promotion. It could be a demotion. It could be see you later. So you got the best possible call you could have gotten considering all the circumstances.
Yeah, that's like the old Big Ten situation when you put the ball in the air and there's three things that can happen and two of them are bad. So I was able to beat the odds on this one. But it literally said, do you have a couple seconds to chat, phone number? And like I said, I know we live in a world where everybody wants to do things as quickly as possible, but sometimes it's difficult to interpret those things. But at the end of the day, it's just one of those situations where, you know, I mean, I grew up watching SportsCenter. I mean, I'm, you know, you said you were 47. I'm 42. I mean, this might stun some people that are half our age or the younger folks, the demo or whatever we call them. I remember the day, Stu. I mean, I remember the day. It was a huge day in my house when we got cable. I'm not joking. This is like a gigantic day. This is like when a younger person watches a movie and someone goes into a phone booth and like, what the hell is this person doing, sticking a quarter into this thing, or using a phone book in a movie? Like, nobody uses a phone book anymore. But this was honestly one of those moments where we got cable. There was like, I don't know, 50 channels, and Kenny Mayne was on my TV, Linda Cohn was on my TV, Keith Olbermann. And I've been lucky enough to actually work on SportsCenter with all three of them. Now, when you tell them that, you know, it makes them feel old. So you have to kind of mitigate that, make sure you say that in the proper kind of way. But it was actually a really big deal. And, you know, SportsCenter is one of those things when, you know, I had my first job, Stu. And my first job, not every, you know, this was 20 years ago. The TV station is not even in existence anymore. I remember I got there. Not every computer even had the internet. And we were handwriting things. So when we sent in the graphics, you know, primarily we were covering high school and some small college in that area in South Jersey. And when we were sending in the graphics or some of the stuff that we want to put on the air, the score of a game or where this event was taking place in Atlantic City, it was in and around the Atlantic City area. We were physically putting things in by pencil. I know that sounds like 1900. It was actually 2000. That was just 20 years ago when we were doing things like that.
So Zuba, do me a favor. Zuba Mehenti with us here. He is part of the new morning show that debuts August 17th on ESPN Radio, along with Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams. So Zuba, put us there. You get the call. The morning show at ESPN Radio is yours. It's a space that's been occupied in some form or fashion by Greedy and the Golics for two decades. You're a huge sports radio fan, and now you occupy one of the biggest pieces of sports radio real estate that we have. So put us there. Put us in the room when you get the call. Zubin Mehenti, new morning show host at ESPN Radio.
Yeah, I mean, I would tell you, I think there were two things that ran through my mind, one serious and then one lighthearted. And the serious one is, you know, I grew up in New Jersey, so the first sports talk radio station, WFAN, for a lot of your listeners. Obviously, it's morphed all over the country, big markets, small markets.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good Mad Dog imitation. That's for sure. Good Mad Dog imitation. You know, and those guys really revolutionized the genre. I mean, you know, I mean, this is a silly little anecdote, but it's one of those things where sometimes things germinate in such small ways. So your imitation of Russo, along with Francesa, you know, they go down to the Super Bowl. They literally prop open a table, a couple of chairs. And when people are walking by, it's like, hey, would you mind coming on the air with us? And something like that totally morphs into Radio Row, which has now almost become a caricature, of itself. But sometimes things have the simplest beginnings. Like, those guys went down there. This is the biggest event in American sports. We're doing sports talk radio. We're plopping a table. When people stop by, we'll say, hey, would you mind coming on the air? And look what it's turned into. And from a serious note, I would tell you, Stu, guys, I think one thing that's really interesting is, having listened to Sports Talk Radio since it started to versus where we are right now, let's call it somewhere between 30 and 40 years. Let's call it a late 80s sort of start, right? And this is really interesting because, other than, I think there was a brief stoppage for 9/11. I believe 9/11, any of us that were old enough, obviously you are, I are. It happened on a Tuesday. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, baseball actually resumed the following Monday, which seems hard to believe considering what happened on that day. So in the period of sports talk radio that we're talking about, 35, 40 years, the only real interruption that we've had was for 9/11, and that was for less than a week. And again, when I think about it, I'm just sort of like, I'm just amazed we were back up and running. But now we're at a point where when we start on August 17th, as we've seen here for the last 2.5, 3 months or mid-March, I guess it's now 4 to 5 months, that there's no guarantee that when we come on the air August 17th, we'll be able to wake up, or you guys will be able to wake up on the 18th and say, we're talking about games. Now, we have baseball scheduled. We have the NBA and the NHL all scheduled to begin within 8 days of each other. But that is no guarantee that that's going to last. So for us to have a successful morning show, we've got to emulate what a lot of other shows have done, including yours, which is to say that it's not just about sports. Your show probably is more emblematic of that than any other, because we may not have sports to talk about. We have to be really lucky, cross our fingers, and hope we can get to this point where the NFL is, where you just sort of bull ahead. You say we're going on the 10th, full speed ahead, and nothing's stopping us. But as you've seen with some of the colleges and the leagues, you don't know if that's a reality. The other thing I would say is, back in the old days, you remember, Stu Gotts, SportsCenter used to be just full of highlights. There was really no analysis or guess. It was like 15 games in baseball, here's all 15 highlights. And we don't do that anymore on SportsCenter, because right now the Detroit Tigers, who lost 115 games last year, they're not making SportsCenter. They're just not making SportsCenter. But in this world, Sugat, I would tell you that people are so thirsting for anything. People are so antsy to see highlights that I think when you watch SportsCenter, starting a week from today when baseball is back and then the NBA and the NHL are back, you're going to see shows jam-packed, crammed with highlights, singles up the middle, sacrifice bunts, things to get runs in, things that you would never see on TV today. I think there's such a nostalgia for sports. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this all progresses, especially with these three starting in 8 days, and hopefully it can sustain.
Zubin, I think you got this whole arrangement with Stu Gotts backwards. If I heard you correctly, it sounds like you were going to try to borrow from his show and talk about some of the funny stuff, funny lighter side of sports. What you're not understanding is that Stu Gotts is going to steal all of your takes and then use them on his show. You don't steal from Stu. Stu steals from you.
I'm already stealing. He is right. There's never been a time in the history of our world where we have yearned for a sack bunt more than we have right now. I'm stealing that. I'm using it on Tuesday, Zubin, before you get on the air August 17th. How about that?
You win. You win. Dan did tell me before you got on the air, in true behind your back fashion, that this was going to be coming.
Wait, so Zubin, did you get, being the sports radio fan that you are, having the WFAN influences that you have, and I have those same influences, I listened to Mike and the Mad Dog growing up, and the reason I got into this industry, did you get it, like, you get the call, you got the morning show, did you get emotional?
A little bit. The first thing I wanted to just say first time, long time to somebody, but there was really nobody to say that to. I just sort of felt like blurting that out. I think it's one of those things where the world has sort of changed a little bit, though, Stu Gotts. I think part of the reason this show is so interesting is because right now, see, I'm not on Twitter, so generally speaking, by the way, best decision of my life, but I think it's one of those things where you really look at it and say more and more, what people want is opinion. Now, I would never mix sports news and politics, but if you see what really works in politics, it's not the straight reporting. The straight reporting is actually getting tremendous ratings because people are already in their silos. They know how they feel about things, and now they just want to hear what happened today. I kind of feel like in sports, we're not in those silos like we are in politics. We're either here or there, or red or blue, or this guy or that guy. Sports is really malleable. Like, you could feel really strongly about, you know, I think the Bucks are going to win the NBA title. It could be something as simple as that. Or I think LeBron is going to win the title, but I'm not sure if he wins it, it's going to be legitimate. And you could go on and have that staunch view, and then you could listen to somebody on Sports Talk Radio, your show, our impending show, SportsCenter, and completely have your mind changed. I think that's what separates sports from a lot of other things, the ability to be malleable, the ability to be influenced. I'll give you an example. You know, people say, all right, whoever wins this NBA tournament, this isn't a legitimate title. It's like 8 games. We're going to figure it out. And then everybody's played between 63 and 67. And then the Bucks and the Lakers, who have earned the right to have the home court, will have no home court because there's no fans there. How fair is that? But I would say this. When they put Pop into the Hall of Fame in Springfield, you know, Pop's first title was won in 1999 when they played a 50-game season. They're not telling Pop, hey, by the way, Pop, yeah, I know you won 5 titles, but you know that first one with the 50 games, I don't really know about that. No, he's Greg Popovich. He's a legend. Down where you are, 2012-13, Heat won the title in 66 games. Yeah. Nobody's telling LeBron, like, hey, you're LeBron, you know, that title is really just a 66-game title. It's not like the one you won in Cleveland in 2016 where you vanquished the Warriors. Of course not. So you could come in hardcore thinking this champion isn't legitimate. But, Stu Gotts, the reality is, every team has played between 63 and 67 games. So every team, for the most part, if you added the run-up games before we get to the playoffs, everybody has far exceeded 50, and nobody's ever doubted the Spurs title. And everybody's going to at least get to 71 games, and that'll be more than the 66 LeBron won in 2012-2013. I only bring that up to say, for anybody that says, it's not a legit title, in sports, if you hit them with some evidence like I just hit you with, you can convince people. And I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm looking forward to keep being stubborn about something and me just trying to push them to say, what about this? Or Jay saying, listen, you know, I really think this is the way it should be. A couple of days ago, he had a really good argument about the food in the bubble, or Adam Silver doesn't call it the bubble, sorry, campus, because it's not hermetically sealed. So it's a campus. But, you know, Jay was saying, guys, stop worrying about it. But I might come out and say, Stu Gotts, I might say, listen, If you're used to living at the Ritz-Carlton 41 nights a year, yeah, this is going to be a little bit difficult to adjust to. But Jay might say, look, we're trying to keep these guys safe. What do you want? These guys want their money. This is the way everyone's going to get their money. So I love the fact that we can talk in the morning and maybe have people change their opinions or look at things in a different way.
Listen, I want to give you some advice. You got 4 hours to fill every single day. There may or may not be sports. You're giving out a lot of takes here. I would save some of them. Okay.
Slow down.
Save it for the air. Save it for the air.
Who do you imagine the person? You and I will both guess, and Zubin will confirm if one of us is right or not. The person that called Zubin to inform him that he was going to be the new morning show host at ESPN Radio. Who do you think that person is, Stanzik?
I'm going to go with an executive, Dave Roberts.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go Trey Wingo. Zubin, did Trey call you and say, hey, the baton, it's been passed. Congratulations. Did he do that?
It's funny you say that. I have spoken to Dave. The answer, by the way, just Norby Williamson, who's okay. In charge of ESPN Radio, and Dave Roberts, who was also in charge of this program. I heard from him, and actually spoke to Trey yesterday.
And listen, I only bring up Trey calling you because, by his own admission, Trey and I have become very friendly. Not his cup of tea. When I learned that you were taking over for Trey, you know, I said, go look like, hey, great run, 20 years, outstanding. I sent Trey a text that simply read congratulations because there is an aging process that goes along with this, Zubin. And I am telling you, we're going to keep a close eye on you, me and Stantic, because Trey, I think he did the show for 3 years, but he aged. He started the show looking like he was 40. He ended the show looking like he's 2 days away from his funeral. And I'm telling you, you will age more doing the morning show than you will, spending 4 years as president of the United States of America. I am telling you right now. Zubin, I'm going to keep an eye on you. You have gray hair in about a year.
Zubin, what time did you wake up this morning?
This morning I woke up at, 7:30 or halfway through the show.
Oh, buddy. you're in for a...
You'll be 90 minutes into your show at 7:30.
Zubin, I used to produce that morning show. Get ready for that 2:30 alarm clock, my friend.
Yeah, 20 years ago, my very first job, I actually worked similar hours. I worked like 3:30 to 11:30. I was producing a little sports. I was producing a little weather. And, of course, in local news Everybody's done it, listening for gunshots on the scanner. I've been there, done that, got to have the rite of passage to make sure that happens. But I would tell you the one thing I did not employ when I worked the 3:30 to 11:30 shift was, and this is something everybody tells me I got to do, and maybe this is because I was 22, you know, you think you're bulletproof, invincible. I know you got to take better care of yourself. But the one thing I would tell you is I have been fascinated by everybody that says they undergo the mid-afternoon nap. Like, I don't think I can just turn it off for 2 hours and then, like, go from 3 and then just pop back up at 5 like nothing has happened and then go back to sleep at 8. Everybody says that mid-afternoon nap is, like, a critical part of all of this, but we'll see. If that works, it works. But I think for me it's probably going to be one of those situations where I'm going to try to keep it conventional, although I know there's nothing conventional about these hours.
You've got a lot of shoes. Listen, you got, I don't want you to be an assist guy, Zubin, because you have to give opinions too. You've got a lot of shooters on that team, and I'm telling you, you pass the ball to Keyshawn Johnson, you ain't getting the ball back.
The one thing I would quickly say to that is I think you have to be the extension. When I'm doing, like, let's say, like a college basketball halftime, and let's say there's like a big game and, you know, whatever the case is, and we have a couple analysts in the studio, and I think you're still right. Because it's one of those things where sometimes, let's say a coach says something that's just totally crazy, or like, how in the world did he think about that? They always tell us on TV, they're like, yo, listen, man, if you don't challenge this guy, if he says something crazy, yeah, he may be a well-decorated coach or a player, but if you don't challenge that guy, then people at home think you're the idiot, right? Everything's flying over your head. You're just going to let these guys say whatever they want and make sure we mention the right car. Is it the Jeep halftime report? Is it the Ford halftime? What are we? You know, like, that's the only reason I'm out there. No way. So you got to think about it from that perspective. If there's something out there that kind of triggers something in your mind, like, wait a minute, are you sure about that? You owe it to ask and push back, even if it's uncomfortable, because that's what the viewer is asking for. And as you well know, as strange as it sounds, like, uncomfortable makes good TV sometimes.
Have you guys finalized a show name, or are you still working that out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be just our three names, which is probably a good idea, just because I think with regards to equity, like in your spot, I'll give you a great example. I mean, I remember when it was the Tony Kornheiser show, but look, there was a time where Tony Kornheiser was a legendary columnist at the Washington Post with Michael Wilbon, and then there was a time he was known for PTI, which has become our most highly rated daily sports show, and then he got to a point where it's like, oh, it's Tony and Mike. Like, you can talk about them with one name, right? They're Tony and Mike. But there was a time where he was building that name through his great writing and then being on TV with Wilbon, and having it called the Tony Kornheiser Show was just huge, because even though he was such a well-known name in Washington, D.C., working with the late, great George Michael, simply just putting his name on the show made sure people understood who he was. By that time, PTI was great. His successor, same thing. Colin had a great radio career in Tampa, and especially in Portland. I love listening to him, and I think he does one of the most underrated things in radio, and I know he does a great job working with Joy, who's got a lot of ties to Miami, but I essentially look at Colin as one of those guys that essentially is doing the show by himself, and that much radio by yourself is really, really hard. But his name was on the show, because while he was well-known in Portland, he may not have been well-known to the country. I think he's done a great job since then. The iteration after that is you guys. I mean, I know Dan was a tremendous writer. Miami Herald broke huge stories, great journalist. But outside of South Florida, you guys may not have been a huge entity when he got that job. Obviously, you guys have turned it into a great thing. It's on television. You guys have, quote unquote, sometimes the buzziest show on the radio. You never know what's going to happen. It's different. But at the same time, you needed that time to get that equity. So I think for us, we should be doing it the same way. If Tony needed the equity to put his name on the show, and Colin needed it, and Dan needed it, I think we should follow doing the exact same thing. Obviously, the difference being that all of those guys are kind of in my role. They're sort of the quote-unquote journalist or reporter. We have a couple of names that a lot of sports fans will already know, but I don't think equity can be bought. I don't think equity can be gained in any way other than simply doing the show. And the best way to get people to know about the show is to associate with our three names. I think it could really help on social media, digital-wise, people that don't listen to terrestrial radio, but just have their you know, like people like Dan's age that just have the phone sewn into their hand. Like there's no difference between having the phone in the hand and phone that's just there. So I think for those people, having our name on the show is huge, because if you're unfamiliar, literally the only way to get familiar is to just keep telling you who we are. So I think there were some titles, there were some thoughts, but at the same token, I think one of the best things to do was just to go 1, 2, 3, here we are.
So Zubin, that was a really long answer. What's the name of the show?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. I got to answer first on that tribute. I'm learning. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. It doesn't get points for creativity, but I think it's going to get points for practicality.
Keyshawn demanded his name be first, correct? Break news right now. Keyshawn demanded it, right?
I neither can confirm nor deny. Let me check with Schefter. I'll get that.
That's a yes.
We'll take that. Yeah. And by the way, I will mention this. I had a weekly spot, Golic and Wingo. I join them once a week. I'm assuming that rolls over into the new show, Zubin.
I will tell you, one of my most fun, when I watch you, because, you know, for many, many years, you know, it shows you how different ESPN can be. And you'll appreciate this. For many years, I worked with Randy Scott. Our cubicles are actually connected to each other, and I know he's a friend of your show, and there's been a lot of back and forth between you guys. We started working together at the same time, and I actually joked to him. I don't see him very much anymore because I work at night, and as, of course, you know, he works in the morning with all your work with him. You see somebody, you say, hey, great to work with you. We'll be working together for a while. We have a shared cubicle, a shared wall. And the next time I saw him, he had 3 kids. It's literally one of those things where, you know how this business is. It's like, if you don't see somebody for a while, your shift is different, it's going to be totally wide open. So I've always enjoyed your work with Randy. He's one of the best guys in the business. And I know you guys have had kind of a good ribbon, a give and take ribbing relationship for a long time.
Yes or no?
What was the question?
Weekly spot, Golic and Wingo, will it carry over to the new show, Keyshawn, Jay, Z?
Okay, the filibuster didn't work. Okay.
No, because this question is about me, Zubin, and I don't forget.
how about we go with the yes, knowing that every single decision I have will probably be overruled, but at least I can feel good saying yes to you before it's overruled by somebody else.
Now, that's how you do it. You say yes, okay? You don't know if you can listen, you make promises, not certain that you can deliver on those promises, but you'll clean up the mess after the fact that you can't. That's how you handle a guy like me. Well done by you, Zubin, but I like that. I just want to give the audience a quick chance to try to get to know you a little bit before the first show. And by the way, if you ever need any help with any sort of hot takes, okay, listen, we're friends now. We're part of the lineup. You call me. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And just know that I'll be stealing takes from you. Let's start here. Are you married to me?
Okay, this is a tough one. 42, single. And if I haven't gotten enough grief from my parents, you can go ahead and add on to it.
Well, no, I was going to congratulate you. Good job out of you. Favorite song is blank.
Here's the funny thing. This is another sort of like, not on Twitter. What else is bizarre about this guy? I don't really listen to any music. I listen to classical music. That's all I listen to.
Wow. Stanzik, you look shocked. Like Stanzik it's the most amazing answer ever given on this podcast. And we've had some incredible answers.
I know. I'm bewildered at that response.
When we bump back with like Travis Scott or one of the, like, you know, Cardi B, or one of the big artists for today, I'm going to absolutely have to have somebody in my ear being like, bro, these are two of the biggest people going right now, and here's the background you need on the bumper music. I'm a little behind the time.
Okay. Well, that ruins my next question. First concert you ever attended is blank, unless you went to some classical music concert or something like that.
Beethoven.
No, I wasn't alive in like the 1500s. I would have loved to roll into a Mozart concert in 1640, but my mom and dad hadn't gotten together at that point yet. So I would have loved to have been at one of them.
Favorite movie is blank. Do not say nothing, because Stanzik will blow his top right now.
You know, I'm going to go with, this is for the radio folks out there, I'm going to go Out of the Demo. You'll never guess this, Dan. You'll never guess this. I'm going to go Rear Window, Alfred Hitchcock.
Wow. Old school.
Okay, wow. All right. Anything more modern?
I'm going to soon get to movies that have color television. I haven't quite moved into that realm yet. Maybe somebody's got some tweets they can send me in my Twitter account for when I do sign up, what the first movies I should be watching in color are. But I love watching old school stuff. The one thing, I'm 42, And apparently what you say in 4 years, I'll be 62. I'll be feeling 62. But yeah. Right now I might be 42, turning 62, just with regard to how old school I am. As soon as we're done here, I'm ready to cash in on the early bird dinner, even though I'm like 25 years too early.
If you weren't doing this, you'd be doing what?
Now, that's a good question. I love, my other obsession besides sports is true crime. I love, like, if for one day I could switch spots with somebody, you'd be like, you should switch spots with Jim Nantz. You should switch spots with Al Michaels. No, I want to switch spots with Keith Morrison. And I want to awkwardly lean against like a fence with my arms crossed and say something very creepy. So, no, I love true crime. And so I would have loved to have done something with law enforcement, whether it be a state trooper or work for the FBI. You know, I'm 42. I think you have to be like a special agent by age 37. At 42, how does this make us feel, Dan? How does it make us feel? We're aged out of the FBI special agent position. But the world is so different. When I was coming out of college 20 years ago, many people that joined the FBI had like an accounting degree because of white collar crime. But now you've got crime all over the world. You need people that speak every practical language on earth because we're fighting so many enemies, behavioral analysis, psychological stuff. So even if my body isn't good enough to pass the special agent test at 42, I would have loved to have done something with the FBI, the CIA. I just love true crime, all the big major cases, D.B. Cooper, JonBenet Ramsey, you name it, Amelia Earhart. I love all those sorts of things. So I would have loved to have done something in law enforcement.
Favorite teams? I don't even know your favorite teams, but do you have favorite teams?
The only team I care about deeply to this day, deeply, 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 is the Rutgers football team. Doesn't have a huge fan base, so plenty of room on the bandwagon. Hop on whenever you want. When I attended college there 20 years ago when I got there, they were coming off 11 wins in the previous 5 years, which I believe was the lowest win total across a five-year period ever. We like to joke that Rutgers beat Princeton, as you may know, when we did CFB 150 at ESPN, the 150th anniversary of the sport a couple years ago, the very first college football game. Final score, Rutgers 6, Princeton 4. And as I like to joke, we are still in search of victory number 2. So I hope that is coming at some point in my lifetime. I feel good about Greg Schiano being back. I know he was a big deal down in Miami where he did a great job as a defensive coordinator. But we're happy to have him back here in the Garden State.
All right, Zubin, this has been great. Listen, I am telling you right now, you might want to watch a couple of movies. You might want to watch a few TV shows, maybe a little Twitter, maybe, you know. But I think you're going to be great at this because you can talk, my friend. I mean, you know, this side of you, you don't get it as a SportsCenter anchor, but on Stupidity, holy shit, you can talk, man.
We got 4 hours, and I think hopefully – we'll be able to fill it. And I think it's one of those things where, as you know, at the end of the day, I've said it before, and this is one of, it's a cliche, but it stands to reason, and it's the pillars on which sports radio has been built. No fan has ever believed, sitting at the end of a bar, no fan ever has ever believed they've lost a sports argument, right? Yeah. Everybody walks away saying, yeah, won that one, yeah. You know, so it's one of those things where hopefully we'll be doing that for 4 hours every morning, starting August 17th. And I hope for many mornings to come, leading right into the Dan Le Batard Show.
I am telling you right now, Zubin, you have 4 hours, but you only have 4 minutes if you pass the ball to Keyshawn, okay? So, which might not be a bad strategy if you're like me and want to get paid and not do that much work. Maybe you should pass the ball. I don't know.
Well, you're right. That's where you go into the non-preparation strategy. Just say, hey, well, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Key, right. What do you got?
All right. Well, we're very happy for you. Congratulations. New show kicks off August 17th, new morning show. I'm going to call it Zubin, Jay Williams, and Keyshawn. Okay? But it debuts August 17th at 6 a.m., which means Zubin will be going to sleep Sunday night at around 8:30 p.m. To wake up for that show the next day. You'll miss Sunday Night Football and all that good stuff. All right, Zubin. Hey, enjoy it. Have fun.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Stupidity.
All right, new morning show. Zubin Mehenti, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams. Stanzik, what do you think there? How long? Let me ask you this, okay? Zubin could fill time. That's not a question. That was a statement. But the question I have for you, explain to me, explain to the audience, How long was Zubin on with us? Zubin Mehenti, new morning host, August 17th, ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio. How long was he actually on with us?
Oh, we spoke to Zubin for about an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay, so I have no idea. I'm asking you before this airs, before I have no idea. Of the hour and 10 minutes, how much of that hour and 10 minutes did the audience just hear?
About 29.
You edited that down from 110 minutes? Is that 70, what you told me?
70 minutes.
Oh, that's an stupidity.
Yeah.
You edited that down from 70 minutes to 29 minutes?
That's correct.
There was 59 minutes of fat?
I think you did the math wrong again there.
I did. I absolutely did, because I'm outraged that I didn't get the morning show. Get my agent on the phone.
Stupidity!
Hey, John.
Hey, Lou, what's going on?
Nothing, man. What's going on with you?
Listen, a little bit, I got to be honest with you. I love you. You know that. And I hope the family is well, you know, COVID, everything. I hope everyone's healthy, Lou, okay? But I'm a little pissed off, and I'll tell you what. We just had Zubin Mehenti on, new morning show, as you know, Lou, August 17th, Mehenti, Keyshawn, and your boy, Jay Williams, 6 to 10 a.m. on ESPN Radio. We had him on for, Stanzik, how long was Zubin on for?
About an hour and 10 minutes.
An hour and 10 minutes, Lou. Lou, you do the math and tell me how many minutes that is. That is 70 minutes. I did the math for you, okay? Right. Of those 70 minutes, and the man can fill time, that's for sure. But of those, of all those minutes, we only aired 29 of them, Lou. So my question is, how the f*** did I not get that morning show?
You're joking, right?
You got No, I'm sorry, I'm outraged.
You didn't get it because you gave me direct orders to keep your salary the same but work less hours. Is your salary the same?
It is.
Are you working less hours now?
I will be.
I got you a 50% raise. Quit whining. I am out of here.